hear the sound of a mighty rushing wave.
Welcome to Issues, weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children."
A very good evening to everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Spirit 88.3 FM this evening. We thank God for another Saturday evening, and I'll be with you from now till 9:30 p.m. Last week, we started a new schedule, 8 to 9:30. And so tonight, we continue, and indeed, it's been a great honor to be with you in the course of the year. This is the last but one edition. God willing, next week will be the last edition for the year. And we've gone through quite a number of things in the course of this year. And the last part of this season, this year, we've been talking about the prophecies of William, the prophecy of William Booth regarding the things that we've been going through, the various things he talked about, the state of the church. And tonight I'll be concluding on that aspect of the heaven without hell being the last point. And before that, we'll be going through some of the news, the things happening in the course of the week, a lot of things unfolding. You know, the whole essence of these things that we talk about on issues of life is to give a reminder and to let us know that things are indeed happening. Some things are obvious, but some too are a bit coded and a bit hidden, that if you are not careful, you will not be able to connect it to Bible prophecy. And by the grace of God, we will talk about all these things on this program. And we thank God that this year he's been with us, his presence has been with us throughout all this year as we've been through. I think this is the 45th or 46th edition of this year. Okay, so let me start off by first getting into the news. Eben, and I'll be with you for this period. The previous editions can also be gotten on our website, spiritissues.info. And the Telegram group, Spirit Issues, you can also search, and just the files are put there as well. Okay, so let's get rolling with the news, which quite a number of things to talk about as well in the news. At least, let's start with the U.S. Yesterday wasn't good, the night overnight. At least 30 tornadoes were reported across 6 U.S. states. And Biden calls the loss of life in the storms an unimaginable tragedy. It's been projected that the death rates will be higher than the 50 so far. At least 30 tornadoes were reported in 6 states: Arkansas, Illinois, Kentucky, Missouri, Mississippi, and Tennessee. and at least 50 are likely dead, but some estimates are saying it may go beyond that, and that's quite an unfortunate thing. And imagine this cold weather in winter, and you have people losing their homes and things are destroyed. It's quite horrible. If you check the pictures on CNN or any of the international networks, you see the pictures. It's horrifying, very, very horrifying. But, you know, these are all things which, you know, I've seen countless warnings, from God regarding the U.S. And, you know, normally when God warns nations, these things like these are the warnings that come, the judgments to warn people, wake up the nation and all that. And it's really getting off the way the country is going. They are just becoming more anti-God by the day. It's serious. It's serious how they keep, this week, there's a major case in the Supreme Court now in the U.S. regarding abortion. And, you know, if you follow the history of some of these things, major disasters come after major, you know, anti-God statements made by politicians or celebrities or the system, some laws, something which keeps, you know, an affront to God, then a big thing hits, you know, a lot of, some years back I went through some of these things on this program where a lot of the disasters were, for instance, soon after they comment on Israel, they criticize Israel for maybe taking more land from the Palestinians and various instances, you know. So, you see, when it comes to the fact that God rules in the affairs of nations and all these things, we can't dispute it. It's the fact. It's a real fact. Then the next one from CNN, you know, I've spoken about this extensively a number of times on this program, and when I saw it, I said, well, it's just extra. Food is more expensive than it has been in decades. And, you know, this is no surprise, because anyone who has been to markets in recent times, to shop or something, obvious, you see that things are going up. Prices are going up. Groceries, food, and all. And the sad part is there is no end in sight. That's the unfortunate truth. Yes, you see, I've said it a number of times, and let me repeat. What we are seeing is not because of Christmas. The increment, the inflation, is not Christmas-linked, no. There are external forces and factors which are beyond our systems here. And so it's not just because Christmas is coming, people have increased prices. No. They're more due to external shocks and external conditions and factors, of which keeps worsening. Like the shortage of fertilizer is getting worse and the cost is getting higher. You know, bad weather, power crisis, water crisis in China. And we all know, you know, we import a lot of things from China, even food, the rice and all those other stuff. So the factors are just compounding and it keeps increasing. So the sad reality is it's not ending immediately, let me put it that way. Then the next one, EU, that's European Union, scraps inclusive language guidelines advising Christmas to be replaced with holiday times. So the executive branch of the EU, or European Union, has withdrawn its guidelines for inclusive communication, which suggested that EU Commission officials update the language they use by replacing the word Christmas with holiday times and avoiding gendered words. The 32-page guide advising those in the European Commission who speak about EU policies in public has been pulled out about a month after it was issued due to an internal pushback, the Sunday Times reports. The document advised avoiding references to Christmas and Christian names to avoid giving the impression of intolerance or judgment, fuel stereotypes, or single out one religious group. Because not everyone celebrates the Christmas holidays, the guidelines reportedly advise that officials need to be sensitive to that fact that people have different religious traditions. Antonio Tajani, a former president of the European Parliament and a member of the center-right political party Forza Italia Party, is among those who objected to the guidelines. Quote, inclusion does not mean denying the Christian roots of the EU, Tajani tweeted. Ursula von der Leyen, the commissioner or the commission's president, had rejected the guidelines before the withdrawal, sources told the Telegraph. EU Commissioner for Equality Helena Dalli said in a statement that the guidebook clearly needed more work. And then, my initiative to draft guidelines as an internal document for communication by Commission staff in their duties was intended to achieve an important aim, to illustrate the diversity of EU culture and showcase the inclusive nature of the European Commission towards all walks of life and beliefs of European citizens, she said, according to The Guardian. However, the version of the guidelines published does not adequately serve this purpose. She added, it's not a mature document and does not meet all commission quality standards. I therefore withdraw the guidelines and will work further on this document. The guide also suggested that gender binary of male and female, Mr. and Mrs. and Miss, should be dropped unless requested. In the absence of such information, MX should be used as the default, it stated. Avoid gender-specific pronouns for people whose gender is unknown. Hey, this world. Gender is unknown. So as not to exclude intersex persons and gender queer people and not to make them invisible. Okay. These people are crazy. It added, do not ask what pronoun a person prefers. This assumes that gender identity is a personal preference. It is not. Ask how they describe themselves. What are your pronouns? So the guidance also encourage officials to be careful about the use of gay and lesbian as nouns, which may be considered inappropriate. The term homosexual can be considered offensive because it follows the medical model and is sometimes used by anti-gay activists. The document was criticized by Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin in an interview with Vatican News. Unfortunately, the tendency is to homogenize everything, not knowing how to respect the rightful differences, which naturally must not become an adversarial issue or a source of discrimination, but must be integrated in order to build a full and integral humanity, he said. And whoever goes against reality puts himself in serious danger. And then there is the cancellation of our roots, especially as regards Christian holidays, the Christian dimension of our Europe too. So it's good they've drawn it. But the issue is the fact that the proposal was even made, it was drafted and published, but eventually had to be withdrawn. See, it's all about the hatred for Christ. So the fact that there's Christ and there's Mass, Christmas, it's all about, it's not that the Christmas is the problem, but the Christ in it is where the problem is. And this, for the last few years, this thing is recurring in various countries. Christmas is being, the name should be changed. And it's happening. You watch movies and, news and international networks and all, now happy holidays, because it's, so they want to celebrate the holidays, but the fact that it's Christmas, they hate the Christ, so they won't use the word Christmas and all. And you see, this hatred for anything God, anything Christmas, anything Christ and all, is just a further confirmation of how anti-God the society is becoming. The hatred for godly and anything that associates with Christians. Bottom line is, Christ is the problem. Christ is the problem, and that's the opposition that we keep seeing in these things. As for the gender issues, it's just amazing, you know. So people stating their preferred pronouns. You know, I got an email from one of my clients, and they are funded by an international, you know, agency in the US and all that. And so a mail that was forwarded to me from one of the consultants in the US. So she, so in the mail, at the foot of it, then her name, and then preferred pronouns, then she, her, okay. See, so that institution, everybody's mail at the foot of it should have their preferred pronoun. So assuming she is not the correct, quote and unquote, correct type, who is using the normal known ones, and she wants to be called anything like the Z and Z that they call themselves, all funny, funny pronouns. So it will be stated in the mail. So that if I'm responding to the mail, the preferred pronouns at the foot of the mail the person has stated is what you should be making references to. Should there be issue of pronouns about the person in the mail? If the person says, call me Z, X, E, as some say they should be called, then you have to respond and use, if you dare use the normal, you think, oh, okay, this is a normal person, her, so let me use her or she in their male responses or whatever. And the person says, no, that's not what I want and all that. In the US now, in some people have been, and elsewhere, you know, it's quite, you can be called all sorts of names, you can be reported to the institution. You see, normal life as we know it has been turned upside down. And the absurdity is now what is becoming normal. Unconsciously, that's what is gradually becoming normal. And I thank God that this issue has come up strongly this year in our parliament. And it's quite a strong position that Ghana or Ghana's parliamentarians, not all, but at least the mainstream, I mean, I've taken the way it is, by all means, it will be difficult for some to oppose it. Though we are seeing the opposition from some angles and from opinion leaders and lawyers saying all sorts of things, but see, at the end of the day, the majority are not in favor of this thing. Yeah. All right, so we go to the US again, or we still stay there, and then U.S. government raises serious concern over United Nations resolution that is omitting Jewish ties to the Temple Mount. Seriously, this is quite an insult to Israel. The United States has raised serious concern over resolution passed by the United Nations General Assembly that refers to Judaism's most holy site, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, where the first and second Jewish temples once stood, by only its Muslim name, Al-Haram al-Sharif. The Jerusalem resolution, which is part of what is known as the Palestinian package, pushed by the Palestinian Authority and the Arab states and passed last week, recalls a 2015 UN Security Council press statement on Jerusalem calling for upholding unchanged the historic status quo at the Haram al-Sharif. As many as 129 countries voted in favor of the resolution and 11 voted against it, with 31 abstentions. The U.S. reacted to the passing of the resolution by saying that the omission was of real and serious concern. It is morally, historically, politically wrong for the assembly to support the language that denies both the Jewish and Muslim connections to the Temple Mount and Haram al-Sharif. Quote, he said, according to the UN press release, Sadiq Atalak of Jordan added, Jordan is committed to protecting Muslim and Christian holy sites in Jerusalem and will counter any attempt to alter the status quo of the sites. The other two resolutions, peaceful settlement of the question of Palestine and the Syrian Golan, which are part of the Palestinian package, were also passed. Different versions of the three resolutions are passed by the UN General Assembly every year. They were last passed with the Jerusalem resolution passing with support of 148 member countries at the General Assembly in 2018. Its support has dropped by 19 points this year. 20 countries that voted in favor of the resolution in 2018 chose to abstain this year, including Austria, Brazil, Germany, India, Kenya, Netherlands, Ukraine, United Kingdom, and others, according to the Times of Israel. And this is the UN has always hated Israel. I mean, their resolutions have always been anti-Israel. If the US doesn't veto at the Security Council for some of these and all that, I mean, Israel would have been pushed way into much more precarious situations. But the US has always been on their side in most cases, not all, because in previous instances during Obama's time, there were a few instances where US betrayed Israel at the UN Security Council level. But well, when it comes to Israel, we can't ignore Israel, because see, that is, when you talk of end time, they are virtually a major component of end time, because this whole issue of Christianity started from that region, and eventually it ends in that region again. If you read, you study your Bible, the book of Revelation, and all these things. So Israel is not something that you can ignore and just wish away that it doesn't exist or something. It's the word of God, and we can't really do anything about it. We have the next news, which is at the UN again. For those on my broadcast list, I sent this new statue that was unveiled at the UN headquarters in the US. If you are online, those who have access to the internet, you can just go to spiritissues.info. I've put it on the homepage. You can see the statue for yourself there. Spiritissues.info. You can see this demonic-looking statue erected outside the UN draws comparison to the Beast of Revelation. A statue outside the UN headquarters in New York has drawn comparison to the Beast of Revelation. That's the book of Revelation, described in the New Testament. According to a UN Twitter account, the statue, a fusion of jaguar and eagle, is a guardian for international peace and security. It was donated by a government of Mexican state of Oaxaca and was created by artists Jacobo and Maria Angelis. Commentators on social media have suggested that the statue resembles the beast in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 13, a creature described in the last book of the Bible. Chapter 13 of Revelation, the book of Revelation says, "And the beast which I saw was like a leopard," "and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his own strength and great power." The book of Revelation, also known as the Apocalypse, speaks about what will come to pass at the end of, towards the end of the world. Artists have depicted the beast in different ways over the time, often with wings like the UN statue. You see, and when you look at it critically, it's just clear. You see the rainbow colors fused in indirectly. I mean, that's pushing the LGBT. But you see, most serious part of it is for them to say that this is the guardian of peace and security. In other words, this statue is what is protecting, is giving us peace and security. You know, it's just like the Israelites coming from Egypt, the wilderness, Moses goes to the mountain to meet God, and then they create their golden calf and say that this brought us from Egypt, this thing. this idol we have created is what brought us from Egypt. And you have this statue at the UN, and they are saying that this is the guardian of peace and security, a guardian for peace and international, for international peace and security. In other words, this is what is giving us the world. You see, UN is not like, if this thing was put at Jubilee House presidency, it's Ghana. It doesn't carry much weight. if this is put at a palace, any of the palaces in the world, it's just a statue. It has, but when the UN, which is the whole world's body, puts it at their headquarters, the symbolism is simple and clear that the world, we, the UN, the countries of this world, agree that this thing, this God idol that we have put here, is what is protecting us in the world, giving us peace and security. Ultimately, see, when you look at eschatology, the end times, prophecies, and events over the past few years, there's one thing that happens through it. God allows things to give signals to the church, to remind us, to draw our attention in various ways. When I saw it yesterday, you see, you look at it critically, there is a striking reminder of the fact that, you see, we are getting to the stage where this beast is being talked about. Something to just remind us sometimes is needed to draw our attention that in case we've forgotten that there's a beast system that is coming. Perhaps we've forgotten what Daniel said about the beast. I mean, what Revelation talks about the beast. So things like this should be a wake-up call to remind us that, hey, if we've forgotten that these things exist in the Word of God, the UN is reminding us. You know, so when I sent, some responded, oh, okay, Daniel and Revelation on my mind and all that. And that's the truth. You see, when you've read those parts of the Bible, Daniel and then Revelation, and you understand what is there, as soon as you see this picture, that's the first thing that should come to mind regarding these beast stuff and all that. Unfortunately, most Christians or some Christians will just see it and it's like, oh, okay. I mean, there will be no connection to the Word of God. There will be no connection at all. Nothing strikes, nothing. But at least, let's be reminded of the season that we are in. The times are not ordinary. A lot of things are reminding us about the season we find ourselves in. But you see, this one takes it to another level. It takes us to another level. You see, they are talking of peace and security, or peace and safety, as you want it. And you see, if you read, I mean, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, I believe, you see, it talks of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, where it says, okay, verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Peace and safety. Some versions, peace and security. And now the UN says that the statue they have put there is the guardian. Oh no, boy, international peace and safety and peace and security. Listen, in other words, there's no regard to God. The UN has no regard for anything God. I mean, nothing. If you can put up this statue, this beast statue, and say that this is what gives us or protects us, a guardian of our international peace and security, then it tells you, it's just like saying that we believe in this idol. This is our God. A God that we believe, just like the Israelites did in the wilderness. This God, golden calf, is what brought us from Egypt. The UN is saying that this idol that we've put in our headquarters is what is giving us the peace and safety in the world now. Okay? Time will tell. We are living in very interesting times. Very, very interesting times. All right. So let's get to Canada, where Canada has declared war on freedom of religion and conscience. It may sound harmless, but the Canadian Senate's decision to fast-track and pass a bill prohibiting conversion therapy is terribly dangerous and to date without precedent worldwide. How on earth did this happen? An article on Canada's CTV News referred to the harmful practice of conversion therapy, noting that this will now be banned for people of all ages, part of a promise made to the LGBTQ2S+. Hey, Seriously, this is the first time I'm seeing this one. LGBTQ, and then two, the number two, and then S, and then plus. Yo, why are they? The LGBTQ2S plus community by the government. As to why the bill was fast-tracked, Senator Liu Hosakos, a member of Canada's Conservative Party, explained, quote, "I think we have to get to the reflex in this institution that when something is in the universal interest, public interest, that we should not create unnecessary duplication and engage into unnecessary debates," unquote. In other words, when there is such widespread agreement that something is so evil and dangerous, we must ask quickly and then decisively, without debate and discussion, let's get this thing done. How does CTV News define conversion therapy? That's a name created by the critics, not the practitioners. It states, conversion therapy, as it has been called, seeks to change a person's sexual orientation to heterosexual or gender identity to cisgender. It can include seeking to repress someone's non-heterosexual attraction or repressing a person's gender expression or non-cisgender identity. These practices can take various forms, including counseling and behavioral modification, and they have been opposed by numerous health and human rights groups. So we are not just talking about trying to force gays to try to become straight, or kidnapping children and subjecting them to torture in a secret reprogramming camp, God forbid. There is not a genuine Christian I know on the planet who would agree to such practices, nor is there a counselor I know who would engage in them. If that is what is meant by conversion therapy, then of course we should all oppose it. But that's only the tip of the iceberg. The reality is that this new bill actually prohibits Christians from practicing their faith when it comes to homosexuality and bisexuality and transgenderism. It also prohibits people who want to get help to pursue change, whatever their age, from pursuing their change, as long as it's change away from being gay or bi or trans. Not only so, but the bill prohibits any attempt at behavioral modification, meaning simply wanting to lessen one's same-sex attractions or actions. This is now forbidden by law. As expressed by Jose Ruba, Communications Director of Free to Care, this means heterosexual Canadians could get support to reduce their unwanted sexual behavior, but non-heterosexuals could not. This is a violation of our charter rights. Talk about dangerous government overreach. Talk about yet another step towards banning the Bible. This bill is actually the worst thing of its kind that has ever been passed, and it was passed unanimously with the help of so-called conservative senators. Did we not tell you this was coming? And then goes on to say that what happens to a 30-year-old married man with children who secretly struggles with same-sex attraction under the new law? Could he receive professional counseling to help him deal with these attractions? Not a chance. He could, however, get counseling to help him embrace his homosexual desires, even if it destroys the marriage. What about a 19-year-old woman who feels tormented within her own skin, as if she is a man trapped in a female's body? If she wants to find wholeness from inside out, rather than getting on hormones for life and having radical sex change surgery, could she receive professional counseling? Absolutely not. But if you are a 10-year-old child who identifies as trans and can get a doctor to prescribe puberty blockers for you, and you can start to plan or for the first of your several sex change operations when you reach 18, yes, that is allowed. And then they conclude that how utterly perverse. Indeed, we are in a perverse generation. Perverse, perverse, perverse. So Canada's law now is virtually silencing and clipping the wings of Christian counseling and Christian guidance. You can't even pray for someone in deliverance and all that by Christian groups and all regarding someone has, homosexual tendencies, struggling with it, that you are praying for the person. Now, if someone reports you, it's a crime. And, virtually, the church, what this law seeks to do, that's exactly what it's doing, is virtually stopping Christians from interfering in people's lives. So, yes, and government saying that if you want to be in LGBTQ2S+, whatever, continue that life. Don't attempt to change it. And anyone who attempts to help you come out of this bondage, that person is acting illegally. Wow. So they set you on the path of hell and then stay on that path. No attempts to move from hell to heaven. No, no, no. Be in that lifestyle and then be doomed. God help them there. Study. This is very, very worrying. Especially, you know, this year we did the digital parenting and for a number of weeks. A new study finds kids ages 9 to 10 are sharing nude pictures or nudes more than doubled in 2020, according to this research finding. And researchers are really concerned. The share of minor ages 9 to 12 who are sharing self-generated nude images online more than doubled in 2020. And advocates involved in the combating online child sex abuse are worried about the trend, a new study shows. The report titled Self-Generated Child Sex Abuse Material, Youth Attitudes and Experiences in 2020 was released last month by Thorn, an international international organization dedicated to combating online child sexual abuse. The research was conducted through a 20-minute online survey from October 20th to November 12, 2020, in conjunction with a parallel study of caregiver attitudes and behaviors. Some 2,002 children from across the U.S. participated in the study, with 742 from age 9 to 12 age group and 1,260 teenagers from 13 to 17. Researchers from Thorn say self-generated child sexual abuse material, also referred to as SGCASM, is explicit imagery of a child that appears to have been taken by the child in the image. The imagery is being produced from both consensual and coercive experiences. Consensual experiences are usually referred to as sexting, S-E-X-T-I-N-G, or sharing nudes. Researchers found that whilst only 6% of 9 to 12-year-olds reported that they shared these explicit self-generated images in 2019, that share more than doubled to 14% in 2020. This was much larger increase than that has been seen among 13 to 17-year-olds, whose increase in the activity jumped from 15% in 2019 to 19% in 2020. Overall, in 2019, 11% of all youth reported sharing their own SGCSAM, and then by 2020, that number jumped to 17%. Self-generated child sexual abuse material has become a viral area of concern for those combating online child sexual exploitation. Quote, and then it goes on to say that it presents distinct risks for kids and unique challenges for the communities committed to protecting them, researchers noted. The interventions we pursued must be uniquely tailored to the experiences of young people and offenders who may target them for victimization. While the percentage of minors who report they have reshared someone else's SGCSAM decreased from 9% to 7% between 2019 and 2020, the percentage of minors who believe their close friends often or sometimes reshare other kids' SGCSAM increased from 11% to 14% over the same period. All of that increase happened among children in the 19 to 12-year age group. The study showed that between 2019 and 2020, the share of 19 to 12-year-olds holding that belief jumped from 7% to 16%. However, it shrank from 15% to 13% among the 13 to 17-year-old group. Researchers noted that the survey data suggests that minors may be operating with less supervision in online spaces, particularly among 9 to 12-year-olds, compared to 2019 numbers. And this is a worry because it shows parental negligence. Parents are not monitoring their children. Parents are allowing their children to be online, unmonitored, unregulated, they don't know what they are doing, they don't check what they are doing, they don't regulate what they do online and all that. We spoke extensively on these things, and the digital parenting. And I believe, you see, these statistics, yes, in the U.S., but I keep saying that a lot of these statistics, if we are to do surveys in Ghana, effective, correct surveys like they do in the U.S., our numbers will not be too far from what we see there. You see, because our society is virtually almost at par, not exactly close, but we are getting there in terms of the behavior of their children and then the behavior of our children here. We are seeing very close similarities because of the exposure to all these entertainment. We are watching the same cartoons. We are watching the same movies. We are exposed to the same music, the same internet. You see, so all these behavioral changes, the sources of these changes, our children too are exposed to them here. So if parents play, ignorantly, thinking that, oh, our children are safe, we are in Ghana, please. A lot is happening behind the scenes, and parents are just not aware of. And I believe it's time parents step up the game and act as parents in the lives of their children. Especially the fact that as parents, we are going to give account of our children. You see, we just can't ignore and just risk away these things as though it doesn't matter. It matters because, you see, when they get into these formative years and they get into these lifestyles, which are very detrimental and are very bond, it's more of like bondages, which it becomes difficult to even come out of. Because, you see, a lot of these LGBT thing we talk about, whatever, 2S or KI or whatever you numbers, you alphabets you add to it. You see, it starts from somewhere. A lot of these things start from somewhere. You see, so if we don't check these early signals that eventually turns into some of these complicated issues, then we are really failing our children as parents. And I believe we will not, listeners of this program should not and will not be falling into this trap. Then we have this ex-porn star turned pastor unveils alarming warning. Ex-porn star Joshua Broom is now a pastor and a hope dealer on a mission to help people escape the grips of pornography. Broom, who spent years working in the adult film industry, knows all too well the dangers porn can pose, and not only for actors but also for the general public who partake in it. The reality is porn is detrimental to you, he said on a recent episode of his new podcast, Counterfeit Culture with Joshua Broom. It's detrimental to the people you love most. Among the many problems porn perpetrates, Broom said, is isolation and disconnection from intimacy. Another is the formation of false expectations among what should unfold within relationships. What happens is people create these false expectations of intimacy and relationships, he said. What a woman should look like, what a woman should do, because they are learning this from a fictitious representation of engagement. Broom also outlined his motivations for advocating against porn and the risk it, he believes, exists for those who consume it, appealing to his own story to help illustrate the cultural and individual conundrums that porn perpetrates. It goes on to say that I was in the adult film industry for at least 6 years. It took a large portion of my 20s, the age 20s, 20 year group. Then it says it impacts my life even today. He said, I achieved a lot of success. I made a lot of money. And I found out the very hard way that industry caused me a lot of strife in my life. Broom has openly shared his story on becoming suicidal after entering the porn industry, desperately seeking a way out, and eventually finding Christ. The preacher said he is launching the Counterfeit Culture podcast as a way to share his journey to help those struggling with porn. Among the revelations of it, he dived into some of the shocking statistics surrounding porn use among Christians. Quote, each day each and every day, I get hundreds of messages that say, Josh, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus, but I cannot stop watching pornography. Please help me. Broom said, so the reality is Christians are addicted to pornography and watching pornography. Broom cited Manner Group study that found 64% of Christian men and 15% of Christian women have said they watch porn at least monthly. But it's not only parishioners. As Broom also highlighted, research showing pastors and youth preachers specifically struggle with regular porn use. One in five youth pastors and one in seven senior pastors use porn on a regular basis. Not have seen porn in their life are currently consuming pornography with some regularity, he said. And that's alarming. And that's the big, big, big issue with pornography industry now. It's a big issue, challenge for Christians. And I believe the listeners who are in this trap, struggling to come out and all that, you know, as the year is ending, let it be one of your desires to really, 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 I mean, put an end to it. It's possible to get out of it. The factors that push you into it, you would have to seek to cut them off. I mean, more prayer, more of the word, I mean, if need be, fasting. These are all factors you'd have to really work on to be able to come out of it. And sometimes it helps when you have can share with someone to help you out of it, because it's then when you know someone knows, it helps you, like you're accountable to someone, you know that, well, this person is will be asking me how am I progressing and all that and all that. So some of these things are really critical. See, and it's a major trap the devil is setting for the world, the youth, adults, all husbands, wives and all. It's plaguing the society. And so as many as are listening who are in this trap, there is hope you can still come out of it and take the necessary steps to act on it. Then we have this final news. Anti-Christian hate crimes in Europe rose 70% between 2019 and 2020, according to watchdog reports. A new study from Vienna-based watchdog organization suggests that anti-Christian hate crimes in Europe have risen or increased by 70% between 2019 and 2020 amid rising concern about declining religious freedom across the continent. A new report this month from the Observatory on Intolerance Against Christians in Europe, OIDAC, focuses on how declining religious freedom, freedom of conscience, and parental rights have impacted the liberties of European Christians. The document identifies, quote, increasing intolerance and discrimination, unquote, against Christians from government through legislation and political discourse. It also identifies intolerance from individuals through social exclusion and criminal acts. OIDAC notes that the Office of Democratic Institutions and Human Rights from the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe published its annual hate crimes against report in November, stating there were 981 anti-Christian hate crimes in Europe for 2020 compared to 578 in 2019. This means that an increase in 70% in anti-Christian hate crime since last year, the OIDAC report states. Then our numbers speak louder than our words. This is one of the reasons OIDAC was founded over 10 years ago, because there was no other organization reporting and raising awareness on this phenomenon in Europe. The study, compiled over 2 years, focuses on situations for Christians in 5 countries, France, Germany, Spain, Sweden, and United Kingdom, amid rising secular intolerance and Islamic oppression. These countries were selected because, according to our observations, Christians face the most difficulties in them, the report explains. The findings of the report are based on a variety of data we collected. The majority of our data is based on descriptive cases, an extensive questionnaire, and in-depth interviews with experts and afflicted Christians. Whilst hate crimes have a higher frequency in France and Germany, they tend to be more severe in Spain and France, the organization finds. The number of anti-Christian hate crimes in Germany is surprisingly high, but not as severe as in the other countries in this report, the report reads. quotes, the observed case of violence in Germany are mainly perpetrated against Protestant and Catholic churches and Christian buildings. These include vandalism, looting, graffiti, and damage of property with high and slightly increasing frequency in the last years. There have also been more severe cases that show a clear bias, like physical assault on priests, arson attacks, and decapitated statues. OIDAC has documented 255 violent attacks against Christians or Christian sites between 2019 and 2020. In terms of legal prosecution for alleged hate speech, the UK has the highest number of cases, but the other countries have high rates of self-censorship, says the report. The right to conscientious objection has been under threat in Sweden, France, and Spain. The absence of the conscience clause in Sweden is already affecting Christian professionals, and intentions to alter the clause in France and Spain could lead to a complete exclusion of Christians in certain professions, OIDAC warns. In the education sector, the organization warns that Christian university students perceive that they cannot debate certain topics freely or express their opinions without judgment or negative consequences, which leads to the crippling effects of self-censorship. The document also contends that various new sex and relationship education regulations are violating parental rights. Last July, the watchdog found that there have been about 285% increase in the number of anti-Christian incidents reported in France over the previous decade plus. The French government reported 275, what they call anti-Christian acts, in 2008. The group executive director, Hélène Fantini, told Christian Post at the time, that is anything from targeting a church in some way with vandalism or a public Christian statue. It could be a Christian cemetery, or it could be actual assault against French Christians with an anti-Christian bias. And see, that's what is happening. The hatred for Christianity is on the rise in Europe and elsewhere. Lots of such reports. Nigeria, I mean, Uganda, Ethiopia, Eritrea, Egypt, Iran, North Korea, China, Sudan, South Sudan. You see, Mali, Burkina Faso, all these countries are having Christians under attack in various ways. Depending on which parts of the country they are in, some are just being killed for their faith. For Nigeria, we all know what's happening there. It's no longer, you know, Nigeria's case is so worrying because the government just doesn't care. The government is not doing anything about it. And it's very unfortunate. And, well, we just have to remember them in our prayers. Okay, Issues of Life, the program, Eben. I'll be back after this beautiful song by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir.
I started out with Jesus at a very early age. Yes, I've known him nearly all of my life. Well, I admit there have been times when I faltered along the way, but I'll keep trying because somehow I've got to make it in. You see, I've got a charge on my life, and I've got a job to do, and I can't stop until it's through, 'cause I'm determined. I've got made up mind. I can't stand around wasting my time. I'm gonna keep on working for Jesus criticizing someone else. There are some things I'd rather leave behind. And another thing, and I don't have time to be bothered with he said, that she said, that they said. Because it's all I can do to keep my own self in line. Oh Lord, I must work while it's day, 'cause I know the night is surely coming. I'm going all the way.
Hello, I'd like to know how to get to heaven.
Well, sir, are you a sinner?
No, I'm a good guy.
Oh, then you're sinless.
Well, I'm not sinless, but I've done more good than bad.
Then you are a sinner. In that case...
Well, what am I supposed to be? Perfect?
Yes.
Well, then how do I get into heaven?
First step is to admit that you're a sinner.
But I'm not!
I'm sorry, we can't help you. Thank you. Hello, this is heaven.
Compared to some of the people I work with, I'm a pretty good guy.
But we're not comparing you to others, sir. We're comparing you to God.
Well, that's impossible.
Okay, thank you. Hello, this is...
Okay, suppose I'm not perfect, then what?
Then you need to ask Jesus to forgive you for being a sinner.
But I'm not that bad.
Okay,
Wait. Now, I asked Jesus to forgive me, then what?
Well, since he already paid the penalty for your sin, then he will forgive you.
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
All right, welcome back. Spirit 88.3 FM. Issues of Life. We started... the last many weeks we've been talking about William Booth, the prophecy he gave regarding the times ahead, and clearly a careful observation shows exactly what he said has just happened. Said the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. And we've gone through these ones in previous weeks. You can still get them on the spiritissues.info website or in the Telegram group. But we are rounding up to ninth, the heaven without hell. Last week we spoke about the hell aspect. Tonight I'm finishing off with heaven. Interestingly, you know, I was just wondering what I was going to talk about regarding heaven. And then, for whatever reason, this song, I was playing some songs in the car in the course of the day, and then this one came up, and then the Holy Spirit prompted me that my talk should be based on this, on the lyrics of this song. And indeed, if you listen to it critically, it's a whole sermon on its own. Let me just go through quickly, and then we'll just highlight on some. And then I'll bring in some verses from John and then from Matthew. Heaven on My Mind, by Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. It says, I started out with Jesus at a very early age. Yes, I've known him nearly all my life. Indeed, I mean, a lot of us can say this. Yeah, I mean, well, I'll admit there have been times where I've faltered along the way, but I'll keep trying because somehow I've got to make it in. And you see, I've got a charge on my life and I've got a job to do, and I can't stop until it's through. Then the chorus says, I'm determined, I've got made up mind, I can't stand around wasting my time. I'm gonna keep on working for Jesus every day of my life because I've got heaven on my mind. Heaven on my mind. And then the verse 2, I don't have time to waste criticizing someone else. There are some things I'd rather leave behind. I don't have time to be bothered with she said, what they said. You know, because it's all I've got to do is keep my own self in line, oh Lord. I must work whilst this day, because I know the night is surely coming. I'm going all the way. And then I can't understand how some people can move so slow, but they don't know just what time it is. Jesus is coming back, and I know it won't be long. I've got to be ready for my starry crown. I want to hear him say, well done. And then the chorus again, you can talk about me, say what you want to say, you can stand around wasting your time, but whilst you are talking, I'm gonna keep on walking, because I got heaven on my mind, I got heaven on my mind, I got heaven on my mind. Very, very beautiful song, powerful lyrics, that says it all. Let me read Matthew 6, verse 20. Let me start from 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then let me read John 14, verse 1-4. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, you know the way, ye know. You know, it's unfortunate that sometimes Christians live as if they don't believe in heaven. We live as if we don't, you know, we say it, oh, heaven, but our convictions, the way we do things, it raises a lot of questions. Do we really believe in heaven? Even pastors act and do things, and you wonder if they truly believe in heaven. You see, it's as though, well, yes, we are in Christ, but well, one day be, well, if we die and heaven exists, fine. Well, maybe we are not too sure, so we can't be too certain, we cannot be too vocal about it, we cannot make so much noise about it. So that's the only reason why we can go through a whole year from beginning of January this year, and we are in the last two 2 weeks more to the end of the year, and there are some churches and some pastors who the word heaven, H-E-A-V-E-N, have not even come out from their mouth in the whole year. In all the almost whatever sermons, 40-something sermons per week, all the weeks they've preached, not even once would they mention the word heaven. Not even once would they say something that attributes, encourages, it's as though we don't believe in heaven. We don't even believe in it. Is it so? Oh, yes, we say we are Christians. We believe in heaven. Oh, one day, yes, when we die, we are going to heaven. But our attitude, our lifestyle, our actions say something else. And it's time we renew our mind towards the fact that heaven is a reality. And that's the ultimate crown for a believer, if you're a Christian, because that's the whole essence of it. That's you should be looking forward to it. That should be your driving force and motivation to achieve and to strive towards. So if we put heaven out of our minds, we live as if there's no heaven to go to, no heaven to strive towards, nothing. We just exist on this earth. And this is where the problem comes, mainly because we've been unconsciously being fed to be more of this earthly realm people. Our mindset is more earthly based. So our acquisitions and our gains and our vision and mission and target and passion and everything is limited to this earth and only this earth alone. So yes, we work hard, we want the cars, we want the nice houses, good life. Yes, nothing wrong with all those things. It's very good, very important and all. But we should not forget that there's more. That's what Jesus said, that we should store up treasure in heaven. A lot of the things we are doing on earth, it's of no value at the end of the day. And sometimes we think, these things doesn't matter. Oh, more time. Go to Konfanochi today. Right now, if you go to Konfanochi today, go to the mortuary site. People have been brought there today. Those people in the morning were active. They had plans. They had good, active plans today, this, tomorrow, we go here. And then they had vision and plan for the day. Heaven was not on their minds at all. They didn't even imagine it. But at the end of the day, this evening, they are in the morgue. And when it's set. So as soon as the day ends, your life ends, now accountability sets in. If we are not storing up treasure in heaven, and we think we have more time, we can live anyhow, we can just play with the world in and out, live anyhow. One day we'll just be more serious with God. The year is ending. Let's just be more entertaining. Let's enjoy ourselves. Beginning of the year, we'll rededicate ourselves to God again and start a new life in Christ. Renew your mind. And we don't have our life to control ourselves. We don't. It's God who gives us life. He sustains us. We don't know our expiry dates. We don't know when and how He will call us. But at the end of the day, as a believer, heaven should be your ultimate aim. I know of a friend's father, and when this man was sick, some years back, he was on a sick bed at the hospital, then, he died, and then he went to heaven. And then they went to pray. This was one of those early apostolic pastors, old time preachers who are correct. For those people, they prayed. And this man came back, and when he came, he wasn't amused at all. So after some days, he died again. Now nobody bothered to pray again, because it's a reality. It's a reality. Heaven is real. Heaven is real. As believers, that should be our ultimate goal. That should be our ultimate goal. And you see, if you talk, you've heard of people who, at the point of dying, they are describing, they are seeing angels, they are seeing the bright light, they are excited and all. It gives you the joy that, yes, there's a better place somewhere. You see, it's unfortunate that we don't want to talk about these things that often as believers, but that should be something that would even encourage us to live right and encourage us to do what is right. But we've shielded all these things and we've relegated them to the background, and the materialism of this world is what has taken over. So it's all about just living right, living well, you know, good life. So the most of our prayers are even centered about these things. So it's all about what I'll get, what is in for me, what is God giving me, the blessings. It's all about just life here. But you see, this life that we are seeing here is just a small fragment of our real life, a small part of it. We have a much longer life to live beyond this place. But you see, where and how we live that one will determine how we are living now. Who believe in? We believe in Jesus, yes. But how, you see, if Jesus says store up treasure there in heaven, it means it is something which it will be wise to do. Else, a lot of believers will get to heaven and there is no treasure for them. Oh yeah. You see, there's nothing like you won't do any work, you won't do anything. Jesus says store up, you say me, I won't store, but when I get there, I should get some. If it wasn't necessary to store up, if it was an automated system that even if you don't work, you will still be given, why would Jesus say store up treasure? You see, the fact that he goes ahead to say that we should store up treasure in heaven means you have a role to play in the storage of treasure in your account in heaven. It's just, I mean, let's look at it like our banking system. You don't put any money in your account, savings or investment or whatever, and then you say, yes, I mean, at the end of the year, I'm expecting some dividends. When you didn't put anything there, which bank will give you dividend or profit or shares that you didn't invest in, you didn't make any payments for, you didn't store up anything, you didn't save anything? No bank will do that. And you see, we shouldn't see God as you won't work for it and yes, you want to chop. If Jesus says store up, that means we have to store up. And let me get into the lyrics of this song, because see, it virtually summarizes this thing I'm talking about here. I started out with Jesus at a very early age. And this, a lot of us, yes, we've been Christians, some 20, some 30, how many years? We'll say, oh, our CVs are powerful. We've been Christians. Oh, those days. Oh, yes, I've known him nearly all my life. Well, I'll admit there have been times where I've faltered along the way. And this applies to all of us in one way or the other. You know, we start the year up and down, we fall, we rise. Over the years, we fall, we rise, and all. But I'll keep trying because somehow I've got to make it in. You see, we shouldn't give up. The issue of giving up, see, falling, yes, you've fallen, but doesn't mean that's the end. It's just like someone in a long distance race, he falls, he gets up, he cleans the dust, continues to run, struggling to finish the race. That is how we should see the Christian journey. Difficult times will come. Hurdles, we have to jump over hurdles. We have to pass through rough valleys and all. But the struggle should continue. We cannot say we are quitting. We are ending. I mean, ending and then end up where? No, we should continue and fight on. You see, I've got a charge on my life and I've got a job to do. I can't stop until it's through. Until we enter heaven, we cannot stop this Christian race. We cannot give up until we've entered heaven. Unconsciously, see, the devil has indirectly found a very nice way of distracting Christians to even think about heaven, to even talk about heaven. So even the talk about heaven is irritating to some Christians. But why should that be? Because, you see, that is the end point. So if the end, which should have been joyous and more exciting for us, and be something that would be a common point of our discussions to encourage ourselves and all, if we get offended by that, then it means there's something wrong somewhere. I'm determined, I've got a made-up mind. You see, we should renew our minds. We should renew our minds and make up our minds that heaven is the goal. Heaven is what I'm working towards. I am a Christian because I want to go to heaven as well. Ultimately, that should be your driving force and motivation. I can't stand around wasting my time. And this one, we are wasting our time on useless things, social media, entertainment, movies, games. I mean, friends, useless chatter and gossip, unnecessary things are wasting our time as Christians. We are wasting our time. I'm going to keep on working for Jesus. This is the big question. What work are we working for Jesus as Christians? What work can we point to and say that I'm working for Jesus? I'm storing up treasure. I'm doing something for Jesus with my life here on earth. I'm not talking about full time, no. How are you living your life? What are you doing for the kingdom? What work are you doing for Jesus? You see, these are the things that are accumulating to wealth. I mean, treasure for us up there. Even the work we are doing, how committed are we with the work we are doing? Instrumentalists, I mean, are not committed. They are doing things like a disical, and they should be paid, they should be given money. I mean, I was talking to one pastor friend in Tema, and he was complaining about how the instrumentalists are behaving, setting high demands. They want this or they won't play, they won't come. You know, choristers doing this thing. You see, even the work we are doing for Jesus, if even we are to really quantify it by human standards, how much more God? Even by human standards, you can easily say that this one is not fit for purpose. How much more God? You see, we are just not serious about spiritual things in church again. Christians are having all sorts of attitudes when it comes to doing things for God. It's as if we want to please men. We are doing it because pastor says we should do. We are doing it because if we don't do, somebody will talk. But you see, we have to understand that if you know who you are working for, he is the one you are seeking to please. Are we working for Jesus? You know, I just love the lyrics of this song. Are we working for Jesus? Every day of my life, are we working for him? Because I've got a heaven on my mind. You see, when there is heaven on your mind, it stimulates and controls and, I mean, it influences the way you live your life, the things you do in your life. I don't have time to waste. And let me emphasize on this seriously. Time is really moving very fast. I don't mean like the calendar dates like changing fast, no, but time. We are running out of time that we should do things. We are really running out of time that we should be doing things. Because the night is coming when no man can work. We are really running out of time. So we should really know how to do things to save the time that we have. So it says, I don't have time to waste criticizing someone else. There are some things I would rather leave behind. I mean, we just have to grow past some things and stop wasting our time on them. We should grow beyond some things that are drawing us back. This person said this, and then you are going to fight. This person said this, I won't talk with him. This person, no. I mean, the time is too late that something should just not bother us. Something should not bother us. We should be focused on the goal. I mean, someone running towards the goal, approaching the finishing line, doesn't care about what people are saying in the stands, the spectators. You insult crying mind because he's running towards the line, he's almost winning, and then he has no time listening to what people are saying in the crowd. We should focus on the finishing line, the work and the reward ahead for us as believers. So he says, there are some things I'd rather leave behind, and I don't have time to be bothered. and she said, and that she said, and what they said. I mean, come on, let's go beyond these things. Because it's all I can do to keep my own self in line, oh Lord. We have to just, think about ourselves. Let's mind our own business, how we can finish well and please the Lord. I must work whilst it's day, because I know the ninth is surely coming. I'm going all the way. As for the ninth, it's coming seriously thick and fast. The ninth is coming thick and fast when we cannot do the things we had wanted to do. Yes, we are getting a window of opportunity to do more for the Lord. The revival is coming. It started in some places. I have a pastor friend in Accra. His church, the revival has started, because now they can go to church and sometimes up to even after 3-4 service cannot still end. The presence of God is so seriously, so it has started. What is happening in his church gives me the assurance and confirmation that indeed the revival is indeed coming. Oh yes, I know for sure it is coming. We spoke about it extensively with Pastor Roger some months ago on this program. So we are going to really have opportunity to work for the Lord, do more in this coming revival and all. But it also doesn't mean we should sit and wait. We still have to do what we have to do whilst we have time. Oh yes. Because, and then he says, I can't understand how some people can move so slow. As if there's nothing at stake. Most Christians are living as if there's nothing at stake. No heaven to go to, no rewards to strive for, no heaven to secure, nothing. It's like nothing. We are just there. We are just existing. But they don't know just what time it is. If people really understood the spiritual timelines we are in, the time is very late. Oh yeah, the time is very late. Jesus is coming back, and I know it won't be long. Very true. I've got to be ready. I've got to be ready for my starry crown. It seems we don't desire any crown. We are not striving for any crown. We don't care. There's nothing. We don't even imagine that. How will it be like? For the work we've done, to hear him say, I want to hear him say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That should be our motivation. That should be, we seek to please our bosses on earth. We seek to get, promotion. We seek to get bonuses. We seek to, please our bosses, do all of it. Just to catch their eye. It's like, oh, this guy is doing well. When they go to board meeting, this guy is doing well. Management meeting, oh, this guy is doing well. We seek that one. But we don't care about how Jesus sees us. We don't care about what he said. We don't imagine. We don't strive towards that. You can have all the good bonuses and credits and everything, credits and all the congratulatories, certificates, honoraries, all the commendations and everything on earth. But if you miss that good and faithful servant, well done. If you miss this one, what is the use of all the earthly accolades you acquired? What's the use of them? So we should set our priorities right. You can talk about me, say what you want to say. You can stand around wasting your time. But whilst you are talking, I'm going to keep on walking, because I've got heaven on my mind. Beautiful lyrics by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Indeed, we should have heaven on our minds. And that's how I would end with this heaven series. It's just amazing how the Holy Spirit just prompted me that yes, I should just use this one. And we have to be focused, dear Christians. We have to be focused. We have to do everything that matters. We shouldn't lose our crown. We shouldn't. You see, the devil has managed to distract us for far too long, and is still distracting us. And you see, the deception that is coming, already the deception is at another level now, but there is greater deception that is coming, which if we are not well grounded in our minds about heaven, we are not well focused, we are not spirit-led, we are not allowing the Holy Spirit to really lead and direct and control things, will fall for the deception that is blowing seriously and is about to even blow harder. Serious deception. Serious deception. You see, if you read Matthew 24, when Jesus was talking with the disciples about the signs prior to his coming and all, Matthew 24, in that chapter, he speaks three different times about deception. I think 24:4, 24:11, 24:24. You see, he on three separate occasions he talks about deception. That should let us understand that that will be a major factor in the end times. Deception will be a major factor in the end times. We cannot ignore it. So you see, we should be guided and be very focused, so that we don't fall into the traps of the enemy. And indeed, it's just getting too bad that the darkness that is unfolding in the world, evil that is increasing and all, these are the times we should run into the name of Jesus. We run and seek covering in him, in protection in him, guidance in him, to guide us, to lead us, to strengthen us. You see, we've gotten to the point where there's nothing like, you can't just be a lukewarm Christian and survive. No. It's either you are a serious, true Christian or forget it. Oh, yes. Because the wind that is blowing and about to get blown now, it's either you are in Christ fully and strong or forget it. It will blow you off your faith. Well, thank God for tonight's edition as well. For those who join late, the time is now 8 to 9:30, and yes, this is the last but one edition. God willing, next week we'll be having the last edition for the year, and tonight we've just finished off this series we've been on for some weeks now. I thank you for listening tonight, and you know, listeners over the year, in the course of the year, from January through to this month, it's been a pleasure coming your way every night or almost every Saturday. I mean, not all continuous, but most. This year I've been in town much more than previous years, I believe. And we thank God for this evening's edition. So you can have your good night and God bless you. So the file will be uploaded to spiritissues.info and then the Telegram group as well. So this is Eben, Spirit 88.3 is the station. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good night.
At a very early age, yes, I've known him nearly all of my life. Well, I admit there have been times when I faltered along the way, but I'll keep trying because somehow I've got to make it in. You see, I've got a charge on my life, and I've got a job to do, and I can't stop until it's through, 'cause I'm deserving. I've got a made up mind. I can't stand around wasting my criticizing someone else. There are some things I'd rather leave behind, and another thing, and I don't have time to be bothered
with he said, that she said, that they said. Because it's all I can do to keep my own self in line. Oh, Lord, I must work while it's day, 'cause I know the night is surely coming. I'm going all the way. Your pain.